The first reading can be found in page 1128 in the Church Bibles, or 1988 in the large print version. It's taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known to them about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God then gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading can be found on page 1010 in the Church Bibles, or page 1785 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 to 23.
Glory to you, Lord.
Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Grant, O Lord, that from the written word and by our spoken word, We may catch a vision of the incarnate word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I remember buying a long-handled window brush for the high windows of our vicarage soon after we'd moved in, and thinking to give my dear wife a pleasant surprise when she returned from her part-time job, I promptly set to work. I was quite pleased with the result. I was waiting for a little word of well done when she returned. Well, perhaps she was feeling a bit tired, but all she said when she came in is, "But look, it's the inside that needs cleaning. Look at those greasy marks." Well, in the verses that lead into our gospel reading this morning, Jesus was being given a hard time by the Pharisees over things like dishwashing and letting the disciples eat with unwashed hands. Verse 3 in this chapter says, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." Well, it wasn't just a matter of hygiene, of course. In Jewish eyes, they were breaking a tradition hallowed by centuries of practice. They were breaking Jewish law written into their scriptures. Now, Jesus' reply was very firm and direct. "Listen, and everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." So I want to look at three aspects of this passage. I think first, we can look at the question of how we're to interpret the Old Testament scriptures in relation to Christ. Secondly, I want to think about what motivates us when we're involved in controversy and argument. And thirdly, I want to look at the way our traditions can become fixed boundaries in our way of life, and that often leads to division and conflict. So let's look at the first, Old Testament scriptures. How are we to interpret those in the relation to Christ? See, the Pharisees had accused Christ of setting aside the law of Moses, written in the Old Testament. And it had a lot to say about food laws and about not touching things that were considered unclean. And a large oral tradition had grown up around these laws, issues to do with washing of hands and utensils used in cooking. So was Jesus ignoring the scriptures? In a literal sense, he was, yes. But of course, in a deeper sense, he was saying these laws do not touch the real human problem of inner cleanliness before God. The old purity laws were just signposts of the real cleanliness of heart required for the kingdom of God. And to make his point, Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. He says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." And then he went on to point to the clever way their lawyers had found a way for people to declare their property korban, that was given to God. And that made them free of any obligation to assist their parents, and thus ignoring the real command to honor your parents. So that tradition meant the scripture was being misused in order to support their particular campaign to revolt against Roman rule, of course. Jesus was challenging the way the Pharisees had built up this tradition. And in a similar way, he says, the old purity laws and traditions about what foods are clean and unclean, like pork, for example, are irrelevant for the real purity of heart that God required. And so his clear statement, it's not what goes into the mouth that makes us unclean, but what comes out of it. From within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these come from inside and make a man unclean. Well, learning to read the Old Testament in this way was not particularly easy for the early Christians, especially those coming from Jewish background. And it isn't always easy for us today. There's much in the Old Testament that has to be set within the light of Christ's teaching. And so I believe it's very helpful for us when we're reading the Old Testament to use commentaries on the scriptures and I think many find it worthwhile to join one of the parish groups which discuss these things in greater detail. Well, so much for the first thing. The second aspect I want to look at is to be aware of what are the motives when we find ourselves engaged in controversy. See, it's clear from the reading of the Gospels that there was growing hostility to Jesus from early on. The Pharisees were wary and non-committal towards John the Baptist, and Jesus' growing popularity with the crowd was seen as a threat to the status quo. I was reminded of the story of my old Bishop Tracy visiting my parish years ago and talking with one of the older church members. The bishop said to him, "You must have seen many changes in the parish in the last 50 years." "Yes," came the reply, "and I've opposed them all." Well, with the Pharisees, it was more than just disliking change. It brought out those seeds of pride. You can imagine some of the likely comments. "Who does this unqualified rabbi think he is?" Jesus' teaching and healing ministry had stirred up real anger and a degree of envy too as they saw the crowds flocking to him. Pride, anger, envy, three of the seven deadly sins. I think Jesus recognized that, and it was why he spoke so directly of the things that come out of the heart, which makes him unclean in God's sight. So when we find ourselves in argument or critical of one another or changes we dislike, we all need to do some soul searching. Of course, I know we all have our point of view on a subject, and healthy exchange often makes for healthy community. But it's when we lose our cool and when emotions take over that we need to pause and look deeply within. Jesus' response to the Pharisees should make us look carefully at ourselves. And then the third aspect that's, I think, very relevant today is how these old traditions can become boundaries that divide us. For the Jews, you see, it was seen as essential to their survival to reinforce their traditions. The food laws were just one of the powerful markers, a powerful sign saying, "We are Jews, we're different." And we can see that in the separation, as we see in the New Testament, between Jews and Samaritans and the divisions that came, and Jews and Gentiles. And there was strong feeling about these things. Well, I read recently a book by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks entitled The Dignity of Difference, in which he recognizes, yes, these important cultural differences are there and we must recognize them, but also how vitally necessary it is to make space for difference. And I think we can see Jesus doing just that in his parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus reaching across these boundaries, and his teaching of the kingdom brought a sea change to all this aspect of life. And it led... I've lost my place. And it led to the spread of the church, of course, eventually, throughout the world, a gospel for all nations. And the challenge is still on, I think, in our world today, to recognize that all human life is sacred because God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem it. God has shown himself to peoples and nations in many ways. Paul writes in that letter we heard today in Romans, what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what's been made. And so, I think we have to remember in our longing and our desire to bring others to know our Lord, we're also to recognize in those of other faiths, or none, traces of the divine presence, and appreciate that they how they value their own culture and faith. We've to make space for what they hold sacred, to respect their convictions, but also, of course, to share with them the truth we have received in Jesus. And I think that making space is the best way to bring an end to conflicts that beset so many today. So let's pray again in the words of that opening collect, that prayer for purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.